This is Michael Scharf. The date is May 11th, 2012. I'm sitting with the Honorable Onadi B. Davis, who is Chairman of the National Investment Commission. We're speaking about Mr. Davis's previous role as Minister of State without a portfolio, and specifically about the Philanthropy Secretariat. We're at Mr. Davis's office at the National Investment Commission in Monrovia, Liberia. Sir, thanks very much for taking a few minutes to speak with me this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'd just like to sort of take you back to the very early days when the government of Liberia was considering the creation of this philanthropy secretariat in the office of the presidency. And I'm curious if you could help us to understand the sorts of issues and challenges facing the government that ultimately led to the creation of the secretariat.
Well, I think it was more a set of opportunities, not necessarily issues and challenges. As head of the LRDC and also Minister of State without portfolio, in those early days, I had the opportunity to travel quite frequently with the president. And one of the things that we recognized was that there was this great swell of interest in supporting Ellen Sirleaf. I mean, so I think the first significant part of beginning to recognize how then does one actually harness the opportunity and all of the energy that was out there was appreciating that Ellen Sirleaf was this icon that, that you know, so many people wanted to relate to her and wanted to see how they could help her. Were responding to her in a very positive way, particularly as she traveled to the United States, that we recognized then early on that she would have these different meetings. There would be people that would come and say, how can I help?
Right.
And then that then got us then where then, okay, I tried then to set up a mechanism within the LRDC just to try to then ensure follow-up that we recorded, took down the names of the different people who came to see if, you know, and meet her and say, look, you know, we're interested in helping and so forth and so on. And so that we would then do a follow-up letter to those people to say, well, you know, thank you for taking the time to meet with the president and your expressions of interest and concern and so forth and so on. Is there any way then that we could be helpful in better helping you navigate and understand how best you can assist Mrs. Sirleaf. And so that began the process of the formulation of the secretariat. By the time we developed a project, a concept around now the establishment of a secretariat, because essentially I was using LRDC staff to do some of the follow-up, and then we found, of course, the response was significant enough that it was starting to eat up some of the time of the secretariat staff, the LRDC, and we dedicated one person to kind of then manage that particular work stream, and it's from there then that we then evolved in then to establish a philanthropy secretariat. With strong support, of course, from a few key partners, Humanity United, Novo Foundation, and so on, that were prepared as we developed the concept and then began to share it with them. Because there were a couple of things that we recognized early on. High net worth folks, are people who, in most cases, when they make a decision that they want to write a check or support a program, they want to do it quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not the most patient. And to then subject them then to the bureaucracies of government, then after a while that can quickly then become a turnoff because, of course, this person now have to kind of sit with a minister or understand what the program is and all of that. That can begin to stretch out in terms of time. So we wanted, first and foremost, then, what's the vehicle that allows this person who wants to support Ellen Sirleaf quickly understand what her agenda is, quickly understand what her priorities are, so that they can then see which one of those areas or which one of those priorities that is better suited to the areas that they like to support or that they are prepared to support. So that was the first thing, information share. Make sure that these folks then can get information in a timely way. So that was the first thing. And of course, respond to their various questions, because many of them had not come to Liberia, had never been to Liberia, or whatever the case may be. So they would then have questions. Well, you know, whichever ministry, whichever agency, they would need then to get certain types of information. Then we found that then we had to then go to those sector ministries or agencies and so forth, gather the information to make it available to these folks who then wanted them to make some decisions. And through that, we begin to recognize, yes, here's an activity that we're doing, but then there's this whole world of opportunity that's out there. So rather than now sitting and waiting for those who will just approach Ellen Sirleaf, which would be a small percentage of the greater total, how then do we begin to actually reach out to other funders and supporters and so forth to create that vehicle that would allow them to be able to plug in and support. And so, you know, it's through that, then even when we finally then agreed to then set up this secretariat, and we talked with our partners, and our partners showed strong enthusiasm to support it with a pilot, a three-year pilot, that they made commitments to in terms of supporting and developing. We set very clear but simple goals, which is to inform and to be facilitative. Okay, not to try to be the doer, but to inform, be facilitative, working along with those interested parties in terms of navigating the bureaucracy of government, getting the information to them first of all, getting the right people in government to be able to feedback their questions, their responses to their questions and queries, giving them whatever other general information that they required, and also then being facilitative if they then needed to come to Liberia, make the necessary arrangements and all of those kinds of things there. So we kept it at that level, and of course it began to grow. But again, the secretariat then also created the we had this forum. This was a forum that we had. I think it was hosted by George Soros
in New York City.
And that particular forum, one of the things that we decided at that forum is that we would meet on an annual anniversary. Well, as a result of then wanting to meet on an annual anniversary, that then created the opportunity to say, well, you know, we need then to have a dedicated person that follows up on the discussions that comes out of here and follows up on all of the goodwill that is in this room and try to move it on to the next step. So that also then stimulated then that process of putting together this secretariat. And so those people that were there, some reached out in different ways, but as a result of that particular forum and then the Clinton annual global initiative that the president was invited to, where you do have a lot of funders and foundations and things of that nature. Well, it was just then evident that you needed to have some type of vehicle that allows you then to be able to explore the opportunities that were associated with with all of that goodwill and all of that interest that existed in that environment. Mm. And essentially, that was how we got started with the process.
It's an extremely interesting backstory in history, and I'm curious, internally within the government at the time, were there certain arguments for and against the model?
No. It's something that we developed in the presidency, and there were no arguments as far as setting it up, structuring it. It was essentially the presidency, and the fact that we were funding it largely again from grants from foundations. It wasn't as though there was a significant burden on public resources to do that. And this was a vast area. There was a bit of concern that was raised by the Ministry of Planning because they have an NGO. They have an NGO unit in there, and they said, "Well, okay, this is supposed to be, you know, this should be an NGO unit." And again, our response at the time, I recall, in discussions with the Minister of Planning and the President, when they raised that, I said, "No," because one of the things that we're trying to do is, first and foremost, is mitigate the bureaucracy. That's we can easily let the bureaucracy get in the way of a lot of good things and a lot of good approaches. So it's to mitigate that bureaucracy, but even more so, a good bit of this goodwill at this particular time is directed at Ellen Sirleaf, and so we have to make sure that we find the opportunity to adequately exploit that in a way where then we don't start not let it get further into government, because when you look at the world of philanthropy, you have institutional givers who have been doing this for many years and are structured to deal with government in a more systematic bureaucratic form. And you have those very new foundations that were coming about and those philanthropists that simply want to write a check. Okay? And the first wave or the first category of folks that where we saw that opportunity were around those folks who wanted to write that check or wanted to do something quickly.
Because some of those more institutional philanthropists had already been here in Liberia, right? Exactly. I mean, they were already getting on.
Yeah, well, some
to some extent, right?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, you know, you've got the Soros Economic Fund. I mean, they have an institutional role. They come in, they work within certain sectors, working through certain agencies and so forth. And then you have those that are institutional players, but they're not necessarily in Liberia. Okay, and how then do you reach out to them and attract them and get them to look at Liberia? The NGO unit within the Ministry of Planning, that's not what it does. What it does is it regulates. And so that was the point that we had said, your role is regulatory. You regulate the activities of NGOs and those kinds of things there. So for you now to say, this is our responsibility, you're kind of missing the point, because what we're doing is we're actually marketing, okay, to a large extent, Liberia and how then foundations and supporters can support Liberia.
And
we're actually then seeing how we can reach out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going now a little bit beyond just those individual responses to Ellen Sirleaf, and then trying to identify, who are some of those institutional foundations or philanthropists that support certain types of programs and so forth? Where are they currently operating? What is their current mode? There's some foundations that don't work out of the U.S. There's some foundations that are focused on programs that are in East Africa or that's in Southern Africa or whatever the case may be. So to begin then to do that kind of research, okay, and better then understand the world of philanthropy. And so as a result of that, Then we started participating in the Global Philanthropy Forum, mm-hmm. where, again, we had an opportunity to showcase, okay, Liberia and what Liberia was going through and what Liberia was achieving.
And you had actually spoken on,
exactly,
on a panel with Jane
exactly.
Wells. Right?
And how then foundations then mm-hmm. can find an opportunity mm-hmm. to plug into this effort, mm-hmm. okay, and plug into it in a... in a structured, a systematic way, and essentially we kind of built it and grew it from there. Yeah.
Was alignment with presidential priorities a key?
That was the critical
goal.
Early on. Oh yeah, alignment with presidential priorities.
Was there a strategy to help that materialize? And do you think it materialized?
Yes, the strategy. It did. The strategy was because over the 3-year pilot of the Secretariat, we've been able to facilitate and inform and so forth, I would say probably to a tune of more than about 30 million worth of support to Liberia. Mm-hmm. And the international philanthropy have provided more than 50 something million worth of support to Liberia over that same 3-year period. And so clearly I think that and we were able to work with them to target those priority areas, like for instance the health sector, the education sector, civil society, strengthening civil society. One of the areas that we felt that there was strong opportunity in terms of supporting is civil society. The president has always been of a very strong view that the more informed, the more knowledgeable, the more capable civil society is, then the more then you have a civil society that can engage government in a constructive way. A lot of times she and myself, we'll talk about different things and we'll talk about, well, okay, take the budget process,
sure.
and you make the budget process early on made it a transparent process. Once the budget is formulated and we send it to the legislature, it also then goes up, the draft also goes up on the Ministry of Finance website. It becomes a so in order then to have good constructive public debate on the budget, you would need then a civil society that can understand the issues. Okay, when you have different civil society organizations and they come and say, oh, government should do this and government should do that and government should do this, well, go to the budget and begin to look at the budget and see then what the government is reporting at its revenue sources, understanding that the budget is a finite, the resource stream is a finite stream first, and therefore within that envelope, how then do you begin to shift resources around in terms of those priorities? And so let's have a conversation around that.
Right.
You know,
right.
let the civil society organizations that are concerned about the health sector be able to say, okay, within the health sector, should we be spending X on this or should we not be spending X on that? Rather than just saying, well, oh, government needs to do everything and you can come with a whole litany
of
things,
right.
which is maybe 5 times greater than the resource envelope, the revenue envelope that you have. So that's an area that I think we were able to encourage a number of people to support.
Could you give me an example of an investment that was made during your time there, sort of from its
The Bill and Melinda Gates project is something that the Secretariat actually introduced Liberia to the Gates Foundation. The Gates Foundation was not doing anything in Liberia at the time. We went after the Gates Foundation. Finally, they did begin to look at Liberia, and now they're supporting an initiative through the Monrovia City Corporation. Mm-hmm. The Rockefeller Foundation is another one. Again, most of their work is in East Africa. We've been able to get the Rockefeller Foundation to come into Liberia, and now they're supporting an initiative at the University of Liberia. It was in the agriculture, I believe, in the agriculture area.
And with the Gates Foundation to the MCC for the Project Impact.
Yeah.
I'm curious how specifically the Secretariat helps that process, particularly when you see that Gates hires sort of an external company, consulting company, to sort of oversee their project and to do a lot of the financial management for City
Hall. The Secretary's role, first and foremost, is constantly communicating back and forth. As you know, foundation, like, they require a lot of information to begin to make a decision to come into a country. Mm-hmm. So they want to know, there has to be someone, some point of contact that they begin to ask all of these questions. That's how the Secretariat, the first role that the Secretariat played, by reaching out to them. And then when they finally said, okay, we're prepared to look at the possibility of something in Liberia, the consultancy that they hire is at the point of implementation, mm-hmm. not at the point of making a decision in terms of supporting a program in the country. That's done by folks in the foundation itself, who then have to come in. But before they come in, they need to answer a number of questions. They need to understand there are a number of countries that they're looking at. They need to get to the point where they narrow down specifically which country they're going to support. They have to get all of the data in terms of indicators and all of this. So all of those things, there were information that was provided by the Secretariat. Then, of course, the introductions to the folks at City Corporation, the preparatory stage before when they came in. And then finally, what the Secretariat did also was it hired the consultant that worked along with the internal person at City Corporation to actually develop the project proposal that had to come from Monrovia City Corporation to the Gates Foundation in order for them to make a decision to support that program. So that whole development mechanism has strong support from the Secretary.
Just working our way to a conclusion in the conversation, I'm curious, when you left the Ministry of State and you sort of had the chance to reflect back on your time there, and specifically the time and the effort that you had put into the Philanthropy Secretariat, were there certain things that you said to yourself, gosh, I wish we had been able to do this slightly differently from the start?
Not really. I think we did an extremely good job in terms, both with the Secretariat and with the LRGC, quite frankly. For me, positively, we had a retreat on the Secretariat and on the future of the Secretariat, which was held in Bellagio, Italy. And we received a strong affirmation from our partners of the relevance of the Secretariat, the role that it had played, and the need for a Secretariat of this nature to continue. I would say where we are now, was as I was moving on, looking at the opportunity then to more institutionalize the Secretariat, and what were some of those questions? Because I had to now work through that whole exiting. We had shepherded, you had a good program team and so forth, and we discussed a number of different things. Should the Secretariat now become an autonomous body? Should it continue to remain as part of the presidency? Some other questions. Well, what happens if another president come in? Would they continue to see a Secretariat as a useful something and all of that? And there are a number of those different questions that were discussed and treated. And we concluded that the Secretariat should remain within the presidency because it needed to be small, nimble. It needed always to continue to have that relationship with the head of state. It needed to always project what are the priorities of the head of state and then how foundations then can plug into that. But equally so, there's an opportunity also to create an advisory body that actually oversees some of the programming element of the Secretariat. And so there was a recommendation for a creation of an advisory board. that would be chaired by the Minister of State without portfolio, but you would have one or two members from the private sector, one or two foundation partners, and so forth. And then that advisory board may meet a maximum twice annually, essentially to approve the annual work plan of the Secretariat, to guide and to advise them, and also to be their ambassador, so to speak, in terms of, again, always creating additional opportunities and links to other foundations and funding partners. Now, one of the work streams that the Secretariat now is looking at and is working closely with us here at the NIC is now beginning to look at funders, philanthropists that are more interested in impact investing, okay? Because, again, that has then a relationship to meeting social needs, but also meeting economic growth needs and opportunities. So we're working on a project now that, and beginning to do some research and so forth, understanding who are the players in terms of impact investing, what are some of the issues that are associated there, and then how then could we perhaps move into that particular area and begin to see, again, other types of philanthropy investors coming into Liberia.
I think your last point dovetails well with this final question, which is what your thought on what the Philanthropy Secretariat has learned about how to engage with foundations over the course of its short lifetime?
One is to again, an appreciation that of the world of philanthropy that are out there, there are those that, again, are structured, and again, you understand if you want to get on their program, sometimes it will take a couple of years. You must continue to remain engaged, continue to send them information and all of that. There are those that high net worth players who essentially are interested in making a donation, writing a check, doing a container of drugs, something to that nature. And those people, they want things to happen in a timely way, but equally so they want to make sure that whatever contribution that they're making is will actually achieve its purpose. I would say one of the places that we could probably try to do a better job now is reaching out to philanthropy outside of the United States. I think that's an area of additional opportunity that the Secretary could begin to start to explore. Okay.
Mr. Davis, thanks very much for your time.
You're very welcome.